A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem named Emmaus. They were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near to them and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place in these last days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said, "The things that happened to Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in word and deed before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had seen a vision of angels who announced he was alive. Then some of us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described. But him they did not see." And he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression he was going on farther. But they urged him, "Stay with us. It is nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread and said the blessing and broke it and gave it to them. And with that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. But he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those that were with them, saying, "The Lord has been truly raised and has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. What really great scriptures we have these days after Easter that give us such an insight into the thinking of the people in the early church. Now, that's the way I always try to approach these readings from the Acts of the Apostles. They're like a little diary of what was going on in the church and in the minds of the believers right after the resurrection. The Acts of the Apostles, as you know, recounts what the apostles did after the resurrection and Pentecost. And so you get a great insight there. And then St. Peter's letter, very similar today. And then this gospel on the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. You really get an insight into this totally amazing, unexpected thing called the resurrection and the impact that it had on them. And what they were supposing would happen, and then what really happened. In the Acts of the Apostles, it's chapter 2. So this is Peter's early preaching. Right? And if you just boil it down to the core, is that God has raised up this man Jesus and now exalted him at his right hand. And he has poured out, Jesus has poured out his Holy Spirit upon us all. And what you see in here is the result of that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That it wasn't something that was just coming from them, after they had kind of worked out a way of organizing a church and building up the religion as followers of this deceased Jesus, it was something really different and novel, because they had had an experience, first of all, seeing Jesus risen from the dead, and then, after those 50 days had passed, Jesus ascended into heaven on Ascension Thursday, and then 10 days later, as they were praying, they experienced this mysterious outpouring of the Holy Spirit after Jesus had gone back to heaven. And that outpouring of the Holy Spirit had changed them. It had changed them from being those terrified, fearful men hiding out in the upper room with the doors locked, to being able to go out here in public and preach that Christ is risen, that God has raised him up, even though he was handed over by evil men and put to death. And now God has raised him up, and he has poured out this Holy Spirit, which to the early Christians was something totally mysterious. Nobody was expecting a Holy Spirit. What the heck is the Holy Spirit? They would have said to each other. Because there's not much clear in the Old Testament about the Holy Spirit. So this was unique and novel. And they were trying to get their heads around it, and they don't have it really well developed like we do in the Creed, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But they knew that Jesus was exalted, and he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and he's been there since the foundation of the world, and then he sends his Holy Spirit, seemingly another divine being. But it's not all laid out clearly, doctrinally, logically. It's more the result of an experience that we know this Spirit has changed us because we denied him. We betrayed him. We ran away and hid. And now we're speaking about our experience, about how we've been changed. So this is, when you look at it from that point of view, this is like a fascinating account. Like, how did they change so quickly, so powerfully? How did they do this 180? And we see that in St. Peter's letter as well here, where he says, we were ransomed by the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God. Well, those are Old Testament concepts that suddenly, quickly, St. Peter now understands that Jesus is the new Lamb of God, and it harkens back to the Passover in Egypt, where Moses told the Jews to slaughter a lamb and eat its flesh and sprinkle the blood on the lintel of their doors, and the angel of death would pass over those houses, and they would be freed by the blood of the Lamb. Now the new Lamb is this Jesus whom God has raised up, and that's what leads to the forgiveness of our sins. And he was there before the formation of the world, but is revealed only now. And so you see this progressive revelation that there's this new and special thing that's happened now in our time. And Peter says, we are witnesses of these things. And what's different is that they've received the Spirit, and now they are courageous and they go out to speak about this. And then obviously in this account in the Gospel, these two disciples hightailing it out of town on Easter morning, and they're dejected and depressed, thinking that it's all over. They say, we had hoped he would be the one to redeem Israel. And the symbolism of them going back to Emmaus, they're going back to their hometown to start over again after this great debacle of the prophet Jesus being put to death. And it says their eyes were prevented from seeing him. I've always seen this as like, yeah, they couldn't recognize Jesus because they were looking for him with just human eyes, eyes of reason. And yeah, reason to tell you like, okay, party's over. Jesus is dead. They got what they wanted. And so you can't see the risen Christ unless you have eyes of faith. And unless you're willing to look and see the mystery that God's revealing here, Jesus is dead. We know it. And yet they're still intrigued. There's still a spark there. Something astonishing has happened. Some women from our group saw a vision of angels and said, "He's alive." And some of our people went out and said, "Yes, the tomb is empty." But they didn't see him. And then Jesus begins to explain the scriptures to them. First, he rebukes them. He says, "You foolish, you hard of heart. Of course, you're not seeing all these events with faith. You'll never understand anything unless your faith is ready to believe." And that's true today, too. We live in a really cynical, skeptical world. Prove it to me. And yet, when we have a disposition of faith, we see things no one else can see. And as he explains the scriptures to them, their hearts start to burn. They start to rekindle that hope that was in them before. "We had hoped he'd be the one to set Israel free." Well, in fact, he did set Israel free. You all have to get with the program, because he's risen from the dead and will never die again. Then I think there's a crucial moment in this where he makes sound like he's going on as evening's falling. And they say to him, "Stay with us. The night is dark. And we're far from home. Stay with us, Lord." Beautiful words in Scripture. And I think all of us need to have that same prayer in our hearts too. Stay with us, Lord. Keep speaking the truth to us. Keep rekindling our faith and our hope. Keep speaking the meaning of Scripture to us. Because without that, we have no hope. We're dejected and despairing. And I don't know how our Protestant brothers and sisters miss this, but this passage from the Road to Emmaus is so Eucharistic, because he says the blessing and breaks the bread, and finally they recognize him in the breaking of the bread. Just think of what this meant to the early Christians when these two disciples recounted this story about how they recognized him in the breaking of the bread, the Eucharist. That's the term they used for the Eucharist back then. The breaking of the bread. And at every Mass, we break the host, right, before communion. We repeat that same gesture. And it's only with faith that you can recognize him in the breaking of the bread. To understand that this bread and this wine is no longer bread and wine, but it's the very body and blood of the risen Christ. The very soul and divinity of Jesus. That takes faith. And now they've made that turn and they recognize him. And their response is, they have to run back and tell the others. And I think that this is the pattern of the whole Christian life. Is it not? The story just sums up start to finish in our lives. Right? We have setbacks. We get discouraged. We see suffering, we see disappointment, we experience all of that, we start to lose faith. And Christ comes into our lives, and he speaks the truth to us. And we experience the Eucharist, and we recognize him in the breaking of the bread. And then we need to go out and proclaim that truth to everyone. Yes, we recognize him in the breaking of the bread. He's changed our life through the Eucharist and through his word. So let's be like these disciples on the road to Emmaus, not at the beginning, but at the end. People who are centered on the Eucharist as the true body and blood of Jesus, and as people who go out and give testimony of what Jesus has said and done, and how he's changed us.